we give you a little background to where we're at. Joseph had interpreted in the book of Genesis Pharaoh's dream that there would be 7 fruitful years and then 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh appointed Joseph second in command of all of Egypt, and he prepared, he saved up, and was prepared for the 7 years of famine. And God blessed Joseph and all of Egypt because of that. And then part of the famine affected Joseph's brothers who had sold him into slavery. But just as Joseph had dreamed when he was a child, long story short, his brothers came down, fell at his feet, and Joseph was able to save his entire family. Pharaoh, because of Joseph's actions, loved Joseph and his family. And that's how Genesis ends. But in the book of Exodus, there's a new Pharaoh. A Pharaoh, the Bible says, that did not know Joseph. And so because of that, he had no respect towards Joseph's family, which by now at this time had grown to hundreds of thousands. And so he was feeling, you know, what if this hundreds of thousands of people decide to revolt? And so he decided to afflict the Israelites. And so he decided that he would start making their life very harsh. He basically sent his soldiers there and they didn't give him all the straw they needed to make the bricks, but they demanded the same output. And the Bible just says that they were harsher. They were rough towards them. And they struggled to keep up with Pharaoh's demands. And it was an abuse of slavery. But the Israelites just kept, it didn't slow down. They started multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So then Pharaoh had a second idea to try to limit this. Start reading with me in verse number 15 of Exodus chapter number 1. And the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children, alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? And have saved the men children alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Verse 21, it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you bless the reading and the preaching of your word. I pray that, God, you just speak to our hearts now in these next few minutes. I pray that we would be still and know that you're God. And God, help us today. And Lord, as we share this message you've laid on my heart, in Christ's name I pray, amen. So Pharaoh gets this new idea. He gets two of the Hebrew midwives. They were probably in charge of the other midwives. I doubt there were just two. But they were probably the ones in charge. And the one's name is Shiphrah and the other Puah. The name Shiphrah means adorned, beautiful. The name Puah means splendid. It's also would be the word we'd use for glitter. but they were midwives. They would deliver in charge of overseeing the Hebrew ladies giving birth. And the king, Pharaoh, told them, said, all right, so any lady that gives birth to a male child, you're to put that child to death. And he gave them this instructions. And they went about, and the Bible says that they said, we just can't do this. And they decided they wouldn't do that. And praise the Lord for that. But I think God respected that, because according to their testimony, and I see no reason to think that they were lying in any way. You'll notice there in verse 19, Pharaoh said, why haven't you done this? In verse 19, they said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, they are lively. And what they described that and delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They said, Pharaoh, we would get the message that someone was delivering, but by the time we got there, the children are already born. They're done. You know, I have no reason to say they weren't lying. I really believe that God allowed that through his hand of power and sovereignty, so that the midwives were never put in that predicament. Because I think if they were lying, Pharaoh probably would have had them put to death. But they weren't touched at all. Matter of fact, the Bible says, and I want you to see this, this is what we're going to preach on this morning. In verse 21, it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, look what it says, that he, that's God, made them houses. He made them houses. He said, what does that phrase mean? Now, it's more than he did, you know, God could have, but this is not what it's talking about. He didn't wave his hand, all of a sudden there's this huge house to live in, right? But what it means is that he made them moms. He gave them families. And they now were raising their own children. They were moms. God blessed them and gave them houses. And so today on this Mother's Day, I want us to look here at Shifra and Puah. Just love saying their names, right? But I want to look at them today, and I want us to consider why God made them houses. God made them mothers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Today's Mother's Day. That's why we're preaching this today. See that, right? All right, but you know, he made them mothers. He blessed them and made them houses. So why? Why did God do this? Because I think you're going to see three things here that are very important for every mother today on this Mother's Day. Number one, I want you to consider this. Number one, they favored life. They favored life. They chose to protect life. They chose to allow the production of life. They chose to prize life. Our world and society is so messed up today. The Bible says, talks about the end times, how there will be a lack of natural affection. And I believe part of that natural affection is this, that God designed young ladies to carry around a baby doll and to dream one day of taking care of their own child and to have children and to be a mom. And that is something that God instills upon every young lady. The world is trying to mess that up. The world is trying to take away from the gift and the wonderful blessing that is life. We live in a nation today, unfortunately, the wickedness of this nation sees over 1 million abortions a year. That should bother us. That should break our hearts for our country. That's wickedness. By the way, every time in the Word of God, when you see children being put to death, God's about to do something amazing. Amen. Study it out. We live in a country today that thinks nothing about abortion. Abortion is murder. Abortion is a sin, because murder is a sin. If we're not careful, we living in this age, we get so used to the word and what is going on that we don't think anything about it again, but it ought to tear our hearts. Every young person, I want you to hear me real quick, that God thinks that's an abomination. That is not just a bundle of cells. That is a living soul. David said, God knew me before he was ever born. God knew him. Life begins at conception. Amen. You see, we live in a world today that doesn't favor life. We live in a world that thinks nothing about throwing away life. And it's not just abortion, but it's just an attitude. An attitude of those who don't want children. They have no desire for children. Now, I understand that God controls that. And sometimes He allows the opening of the womb, sometimes not. That's God's business, and we can always trust Him in that. But the attitude of not wanting children and thinking children are a bother or an issue, that is a wicked, wicked thought and philosophy. The Bible says this, that children... Turn real quick, see this with me. In Psalm 127, turn over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, look at verse number 3 with me. these midwives favored life. They would not consider the concept of killing these children. And I believe God kept them from even having to make that decision, but their decision was already made. The Bible makes that clear. A child is a blessing from God. In Psalm 127 and verse number 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are a blessing from God. The words there are a reward, a heritage. A heritage is something that's passed down and entrusted to you. Your children are a gift from God. So parents, don't try to find every way out of not having to be around your kids and always shipping your kids away. That's not natural affection. To our young people that are yet to be married or fresh, newly married, again, don't say, "Well, we don't want kids." There's something not quite right with that attitude. I mean, I've never had a... We just had a sports banquet. We have tournaments our school plays in. I've never had any athlete ever sit there when the awards are passed out and the rewards are being handed out, sit there and say, "I don't want any." Never seen it. I've never seen when it's time to hand out prizes and somebody said, "I want no prizes. I want no rewards." No, rewards are blessings. And our children are a blessing. And these midwives, I believe God blessed them and made them houses because they favored life. Number two, back in our text, I believe God made them houses because they followed the law. They followed the law. Now, I get, and don't misunderstand me, there was no Ten Commandments yet. There weren't Ten Commandments, so there wasn't a "thou shalt not kill" yet. That would come about 19 chapters later, right? But yet, way back in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 7 or 8, when Noah came forth from the ark, God said, "He who sheds man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed." So what was God saying? God was saying this: it's wrong to murder. Now God had to establish that because already in the brevity of humanity, Cain had already killed his own brother. In the brevity of humanity, Lamech, a great-great-grandson of Cain, said, "If Cain killed he who he killed, I've killed seven men, and I dare anyone to do anything about it." They had gone to a point to where they were boasting in their murders. And so God, when God, again, and every thought of every man was wicked, that's why God had to send the flood. And Noah and his family walked out of that ark, God said, "Now stop. Here's law number one." That is instilled in the heart. And these midwives, when Pharaoh said, "Every male child that's born, you're to kill that child," in their heart they said no. Amen. And it wasn't that they just hated Pharaoh, though they probably didn't love him. It wasn't just because they were rebellious, because I don't believe they were rebellious at all. It was because in their heart they knew God said this is wrong. And God made them houses. God would bless them and allow them to be mothers and have a house of their own because they favored life, and secondly, they followed the law. I said a little bit about this in our Sunday school time after our breakfast today. But God has given us His Word, and ladies, if you want God's blessing upon you, young ladies, if you want to see the blessings of God in your life and have a family that will honor God and live peaceably one with another, you have to, you must, it is imperative that you live your life by this book. When we disregard the Word of God, we end up in problems every time. I read this morning, referenced it this morning, but let me read it to you real quick. In Proverbs chapter 14, and Brother Susan can put it on the board if he'd like, but Proverbs chapter 14, listen to verse 1 and 2 of Proverbs chapter 14. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Verse 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Listen, God wants to bless every home in this auditorium. God wants our families to be blessed of God. God wants mom and dad to have children that love them and have a relationship with them. But everything God wants, the devil hates. And everything that God wants, the devil's going to try and fight. And if I try to have a family, if I try to be a good husband or to be a good father, if I try to do these things and I disregard this book, I am headed towards destruction. Right. You cannot expect the blessings of God and live in rebellion to the things of God. Right. As I said this morning to the ladies, we must have clean hands. Here, these ladies are blessed that God made them houses. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
God made them houses. I just love that phrase. God made it because they favored life and they knew what God had said and they said, we will do what God said.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord for Mother's Day today. And I always take, and don't worry, on Father's Day, I say it every year and I do it. On Father's Day, I'll nail the dads with the Word of God. Don't worry, ladies, alright? Promise you. But I want to encourage ladies today. If you want God's blessing in your home and you want your children to one day rise up and call you blessed, if you want your children to go on and serve the Lord, if you want to spend eternity together in heaven, you have to live your life by this book.
That's right.
You can't expect the blessings of God. You can't expect God to make you houses if you have no fear of God and the Word of God in your life.
Mm-hmm.
God made them houses, number one, because they favored life. Number two, because they followed the law. Number three, God made them houses because they feared the Lord. Look at verse number 17 in our text in Exodus chapter 1. After Pharaoh told him, you kill every male child that's born, verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them and saved the men's children alive. Verse number 21, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that He made them houses.
Yes.
God made them houses because they favored life, followed the law, and they feared God. So what's it mean that they feared God? Just three thoughts and we're all done. Number one, they knew He was sovereign.
Yes.
They knew that He was God. The king of the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth had a face-to-face meeting with these two ladies and said, you will kill every man child. I am king. You will do it. But in their hearts they said, there's a king higher.
Yes. Yes.
There's a king higher than you, Almighty Pharaoh. He's the King of Kings.
Yes.
And Lord of Lords. The God of Gods. That's the same God we serve, by the way.
Yes.
God made them houses because they feared the Lord. They lived their life in light of the fact that God is King.
Yes.
I ask you a question today, not just to our ladies, to every one of us today. Do we live our life in light of the fact that God is King?
Yes.
If at all possible, we're to live peaceably with all men. We should pray for our leadership, no matter where it's at, be it in the workplace, be it in the government, pray for your leaders.
Yes.
But if there ever comes a point that I have to choose to obey God or man, I must choose to obey God every time.
Yes.
And if we want God's blessing in our life, and if ladies want God to make them houses, you must be a favoring of life, there must be following of the Lord, and you need to fear God. And it starts with this, knowing that He is King. Now, it may be easy to sit there and say, well, yes, of course He's King. But do we live that way? Do we live that way? We have the instructions of the Word of God. And it's easy to nod our head and say, He is King. But do we follow what the King has said?
That's right.
Do we live our life in the fear of the Lord? In other words, the word fear of the Lord doesn't mean we're hiding under a pew, right? Oh, God's going to zap me. God doesn't do that. He is long-suffering. He is kind. He's merciful. And amen for those things. But living in the fear of the Lord means this, that every action and decision that I make is made in light that He is King of my life.
Yes.
They feared the Lord. And knowing that, number one, He is sovereign. Number two, that He had provided. Again, in verse number 19, it says, "But the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them." I believe that they feared the Lord and they knew that He is sovereign. And as they made that decision, they were able to testify, "God has taken care of me."
Yes.
I really, from the reading of the Word of God, and every, and you put everything right into order, I believe in their heart, when Pharaoh told those ladies, "You are to put those male child to death," that in their heart they said, "We can't do that."
That's right.
But at the same time, that's Pharaoh, mm-hmm. and this would probably cost them their life. But they had made the decision, "We'll not do it." You imagine the fear the first time someone knocked on the door. Pooah! That's my favorite name. Pooah! Someone's giving birth. You need to come. The fear. She wasn't going to put that child to death if it was a male. It was already settled in her mind. I'm not doing that. So she no doubt gathered her things and made her way to the house, knocked on the door, probably heavy-hearted, scared. But she opened the door. They said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't need to come in. Child's already born."
Yes. Yes.
So she goes back home. She's sitting there at home and maybe tells what happened there to the other midwives and another knock on the door. "Hey, someone else," because read the Word of God. They were having lots of babies, right? I mean, they were multiplying, the Bible says. "Shiphrah, you need to come quick." Oh boy. No doubt her heart begins to fall, right? She gets to the house, she gathers things, knocks on the door. "I'm here." "Oh, don't worry about it. Child's already born, no need to come in." After about the fourth or fifth time, they probably had the conversation. No need to go, right? They probably skipped around, stopped, shopped, whatever. And they finally got there and said, "Already born? Already born? Good. See ya," right? I mean, it was just something. That's what it reads. They said, "Ere we go, the Israelites are more lively than the Egyptians." I'm just telling you what the Bible says, right? But they're having their babies before we ever even get there. It's out of our hands, King. What are they testifying about? They'd already made the decision, but now they're able to say, "God sure has taken care of me. He has kept me out of issues and kept me out of problems and kept me out of situations." And they were able to testify, "God is good." Pharaoh probably didn't grasp it all, but he didn't punish them. So something about what they said, he said, "Well, what am I supposed to do about this now?" If they were lying, he'd have put them to death. If they were trying to play around with him, he would have made an example out of them. But God had taken care of these ladies. And I'm here today to tell you, ladies, if you'll fear God, it happens by recognizing that He is sovereign, He is King. But I promise you this. But towards the end of your life, it'd be a good thing to look back and say, "My, how great God has been.
Yes.
How good my God has been to me." I still enjoy. God's blessed me. I still have a grandma that I can talk to. And she always talks about the Lord. She loves the Lord, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Last time we talked, it was a couple weeks ago, she said, "Travis John, God's good." I said, "He is."
Yes.
She goes, "No, you don't understand. He's really, really good." I said, "Yeah, He is."
Yes.
A testimony from her, my mom. I go to a nursing home every Thursday. And there are ladies there that have lived their life for the Lord. And I've never, ever in my life met someone who was elderly that served God with their life that ever had one regret about it. They always share the same testimony. God is so good. And these ladies were able to testify because if they hadn't decided that they weren't going to follow the King, they'd never had this testimony. But because they acted in faith, they were able to look back and say, God is true to His Word. They recognize that He has provided. And today, the lesson from their life is they not only know that He is sovereign, that He provides, but listen to me, that God is just. He's just. See what I mean? He's just. He took care of them. Not only did God provide for them, but then, simply stated, God made them houses. God did something for them. God blessed them because of their faithfulness. I only say it because, listen to me, God is completely just. If you live your life for the Lord, He will bless. I'm not telling you're going to be rich. I'm not telling you're never going to get sick because it's appointed unto men once to die. I'm not going to tell you life's always going to be without any problems. No, offenses will come. But through it all, God is so good. And through it all, God will always. You've never seen God's children begging for bread. You never see God's children overwhelmed with life to where God will not, if they allow Him, provide and see them through it. Many of us in the last few years have been through some pretty dark waters. Many of us have faced some things in the last few years that have not been easy. But God is faithful. And He is completely just. But as wonderful and as awesome it is to talk about His blessings, and that if you live and do what's right, the blessings of God are promised there. The peace of God, the provisions of God, the protection of God, they're all promised, and God's promises, every one of them are true. But it's not just about rewards when it comes to just. There was always a recompense too. Because He is just, a life that is lived apart from this book, a life that chooses sin, praise the Lord, He's merciful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, He's gracious.
Yes.
But listen to me today. God is just. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Yes.
For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yes.
Friends, today, if you choose to follow this book, there's a blessing there. But if you choose to take the Word of God today and put it aside and say, I have no intention of following that, God is just. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God has to judge sin. Understand this. It's a saying that's used all the time. People say, well, why would God send people to hell? And the answer to that is this: people choose to go to hell. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If anyone and everyone that has gone to hell is because they've taken what God has given to him and said, no. They've taken the preaching and the teaching that we are all sinners, and by the way, we're all sinners.
Amen.
They've taken the fact that our hearts are all desperately wicked, there's none righteous, no, not one, and the wages of our sin is death. That death is described in the book of Revelation as the second death, which is the lake of fire. It's appointed unto men once to die. We all will face death if the Lord doesn't return. We all will one day, our funerals will be preached. It's that second death that is determined by your choice. You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm trying to live a decent life. I give to the church, or I give to the poor, or I got baptized, or whatever work you may want to do. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, the only song we're ever going to sing is praise to the Lamb of God.
Yes.
right.
Because the only way we're saved is by, Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today, my friend, the only way to heaven is by believing what Jesus Christ has told us in His Word. That we are sinners, but God loved us so much He sent His Son to die for us. Jesus paid for our sins, and by the way, He's the only one who could pay for our sins. Because the rest of us have a sin problem. I can't help you and you can't help me because we both are in the same need of help. But He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When He went on the cross, all of our sin was placed upon Him. And now we can receive His righteousness. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Yes.
So I'll get to heaven, I'll be all right my own way. God is just.
Yes.
You will not. Well, God will. He'll understand I'm a decent person. You might be. But the problem is you're comparing yourself to other people. The standard of righteousness is God Himself.
Yes.
And we've all come so short.
Right.
He's just. If you are saved today, I pray you are. If you are saved and say, well, appreciate it, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not committed like that. I'm not going to follow what the Word of God says in these areas. Understand, God is just. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm just telling you the fact. God is just.
Yes.
While He's merciful and patient, and I am a beneficiary of the mercy and the patience of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you.
Yes.
But God is just. The way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes.
There's a broad way, and many there be that go therein, but it leads to destruction. Praise the Lord for two ladies that favored life.
Yes.
They said, we're not going to do that. And they followed the law that God had given them. We're not going to kill. And they feared God above any other man. That God is the King. And then they were able to look back and say, look what He's done for us. And their life testifies today that He is just. God took these two ladies and He made them houses. What a great God.